Bibles or come or read with us in Book of Matthew, chapter 18. I'm going to read from verse 21 to verse 35. We'll read the word of the Lord in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times." For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife, the children, and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." And then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. And when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to the Lord all that had taken place. And then his Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. Ouch. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not there. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we engage in conversation with the Word and with you, I pray in the name of Jesus that your message, your teaching, your heart may be shown to us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. We have engaged in a series of messages this month called The Kingdom of God. And this time, we're going to talk about the real story about forgiveness. The real story. Right? It's not necessarily what you have heard, but the real story. And we're going to have a very easy time. Believe me, it's going to be quick. It's going to be only about 55 minutes. And that's just to expose certain things, because I know that it is easy what we're going to talk about. It's nothing to it, right? Forgiveness. Everybody does it, doesn't it? Right?
Yeah.
And it's easy. I'm sorry. Yeah, I can hear you saying, "Yeah, right." But and the thing is, we're going to hear about this, but we're going to talk about this in the context of this theme of the month, right? The kingdom of God. We have just sang that song, "You are my king," right? You are my king. We exist in a kingdom. And we know that this kingdom is specific to some folk. As far as scripture is concerned, it is specific to us who believe. This kingdom is also, and any kingdom as a matter of fact, is about relationships. Relationships between folks. And this time Jesus has something very specific to say to that people that he's talking to and about their relationships. Last week we were dealing with the matter of forgiveness in a way from the perspective of that process of reconciliation that can happen between parties, right? One that should have an emphasis on discipleship and not discipline. Remember that? Those who were here. How we sometimes approach things, and maybe even in a legalistic matter, but we don't consider what God is trying to teach us. But the kingdom of God really tries to promote communal harmony, love, consideration of one another, mercy, forgiveness. So here we go. We're going to get started now, okay? I hope you're ready and you have your pencils, pens, notepads, and all those things that you are going to use as tools for the rest of the week, the rest of your lives. There's two parts to this passage. The first part is that interchange that happens between Jesus and Peter. And the second part is the parable that Jesus uses for that special teaching moment, right? That just happened. But both parts are tightly linked and sort of resumed in the last verse of our reading, which is, well, I believe, the moral of the parable. Now think about the exchange between Peter and Jesus. It starts with a follow-up question that Peter has concerning the previous teaching moment, right, that they had. The issue about how do you resolve conflict with another member of the church. And we already established that being a member of the church means to be part of the kingdom of God. So this is really important because Peter brings it up again in this question. If another member of the church, right? That's how he prefaced it, right? Right? If another member of the church sins against me, he says. Now, notice that Peter poses the question from a perspective. If another member sins against me. He just didn't say, well, what if someone sins against another? No. He says, if another member sins against me. Right? And I want to make an emphasis on that because sometimes we consider these things as some situation that is out there. It doesn't relate to me specifically. In this case, Peter sort of personalizes the question, right? And maybe it makes us think that there's a reason why Peter is asking that question. Maybe. Maybe Peter is somewhat afflicted by what he heard coming from Jesus in the previous teaching moment. Right? Remember, if you have an issue with your fellow church member, go to him directly. If he doesn't listen to you, hey, bring someone else. try to reason. If it doesn't happen, bring it to the church. This has to create some kind of environment where you can have a resolution, I would assume. But if that doesn't happen, guess what? Then you need to put that person away. And I imagine, I'm just curious here, if Peter is saying, but wait a minute. Maybe you'll get it in a second. Okay. Maybe Peter is saying, but I'm in that place. Maybe he has this internal conflict as he hears Jesus. And the other clue here, I'm playing the investigator, right? The private detective here. But maybe, you see, there's a clue here. He says, how many times should I forgive? You see, already Peter is going there. Already Peter is probably expressing that he has done that or that he has been in the position of being forgiven several times. And he is thinking, okay, at some point there has to be either a limit or maybe it's limitless. And when he tries to quantify that, he brings up this number, 7. And you and I know that 7 in the Bible signifies perfection, 7 days of creation. You see, the Lord did this perfectly. So he's smart, right? And he says to Jesus, hey, should it be like 7? That is the perfect number. And maybe in his relation with this other person, quote unquote, he's saying, all right, I've done it 7 times. So that should be it. That should be enough. Quantification. Well, here's some thoughts about that. Forgiveness is not easy. It's not easy to understand, and it's not easy to do. Do I hear an amen? Okay, all right, because I thought I was the only one that had that issue. Now, there's a few factors involved in forgiveness. The first is that there's a cause to the conflict, right? There's a cause. There's an action, an affront, or as Jesus calls it, a sin involved. And that causes disruption in the relation. Is like a relational illness. And there's feelings that are attached to that illness, right? When you are in bad shape, you feel ill. Now, that feeling is expressed somehow. Rage, anger, indignation, I mean all kinds of things, right? And there's also a reaction to the wrongdoing. We all have feelings that are attached to these wrongdoings, especially when we are invested in that relationship. So what are we to do with all that? See, I think that Peter asked Jesus how much to forgive because of this internal conflict that he has. And he asks how many times because he is conflicted by the degree of the offense that he is dealing with, whether it was done to him or that he did it to somebody else. We don't know. But there's obviously something going on inside. Maybe he had an issue with someone else and he tried to solve it somehow and it didn't happen. But Jesus' response is really shocking. Not 7, but 70
seven times. And I grew up with the Reina Valera version of the scriptures, Spanish, old Spanish version, all right? And it says seven times seven. So I thought it was 49 times, right? Now I read this NRSV version, it says 77 times, and I'm like, no, I had it down, you know, I had it down to a number. Now the bar has been raised. It's not fair. Wait, no, just kidding. 77 times. I wonder why Jesus did have to go come to 77 times. Why did Jesus respond that way? And I think that the answer gets to the principle of the matter. I'm going to say it in the lingo of one of the characters of Breaking Bad. It's about grace, yo. It's about grace. Yeah, I know Manelli was going to get that one real quick. Yeah. It's about grace. See, grace is a concept that is not well understood. It wasn't well understood in the times of Christ, and it's still not well understood in today. In a time when you are measured by your status, your behavior, as understood by people's righteousness, grace was mostly irrelevant. Remember the woman that was brought to Jesus? And that interaction, do you remember that? Lord, she was caught in the act. And the law says. So, you see that grace is something that is difficult for folks coming from that perspective to deal with. And I tell you, even today, we're still in the same boat. So I think that this is why Jesus chooses such a, let me call it a ridiculous parable, because when you look at the specifics, it sort of doesn't make sense. It's like he's saying, hey, you know, you want to know what real forgiveness is? You want to go know what the extent of forgiveness goes to? I'll tell you. You see, there's this man, he's a king, has this slave, and this slave, this is a specific word, slave, right, owes him millions and millions of dollars. Millions of dollars in taxes, right? Remember, the guy is a king, right? See, he owes him. So, did you hear any problem in that? For a slave to owe someone else millions of dollars? That means that the king had to somehow say, it's okay for you to owe me that money. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let anyone to get away with millions of dollars. Right? Nobody. But this king says, it's okay, all right, just borrow some more. Okay, you owe me some more, that's okay. But at some point, he says, all right, it's time. You gotta pay up. And of course, this slave, later on he's called a wicked one, says, Master, I can't handle it. Please, have pity on me. You see, that's why I say it's sort of ridiculous. The situation itself doesn't really make sense. And I think that this is where Jesus is going. You see, it doesn't make sense, guys. It doesn't make sense whatsoever for us to forgive such a debt. But then, of course, he goes on and he explains that after the master has said, dude, you don't have anything to pay back. You're clear. Then this guy goes out and finds someone that owes him, you know, relatively $100, okay? You know, with all the millions that he owed, you know, he says, okay, you owe me $100. Come on, give me my money. Come on, give me my money. And then that mean servant treats the other, throws him in jail. You see, forgiveness, I'll say it again, is a difficult thing. Because it is personal. Because we care. We care about ourselves so much that we feel sorry when we are hurt. And we feel that the only way out of that is retribution. Am I right? We feel owed to. That's what we call justice around here sometimes. But I said more than once that justice, or our justice, is all screwed up. Because our sense of justice does not consider the value of grace. See, in order to forgive another, we need to have empathy. And empathy is that ability to understand and share the feelings of another, which is one of the signs of maturity, when you can put yourself on another shoes. Remember, walk a mile in my moccasins, or is that the saying? Right? Yeah. Sort of like that, okay. So that sense is it's hard for us to get there, and it takes maturity, it takes some understanding. I read this commentary by Eric Barreto, and he said, ask a child to apologize, to admit his or her wrongdoing, and you will discover the early limits of our empathy, right? Hey, did you do that? Nope. Billy did it. You see, we're always in the business of saving ourselves, of caring for ourselves. It wasn't my fault. It was yours. You did it. That's how we handle relationships. And it's very healthy, right? So far, so good? Okay. You see, we are invested in this idea that it's so hard to let go of the illusion that the past can be changed. Because basically, that's what we're intending, right? You hurt me, you're going to make it right. Do you remember Joseph's story? Remember Joseph and his brothers? What they did? What did they do? That was crazy. They sold them off? Got rid of him? Supposedly. And guess what? After some time, Joseph encounters all kinds of difficult things. Want to know? Just read Genesis 50. You'll get there. Hear these words. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers were trembling. No, that's my version again. I'm sorry. Said, what if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him? So they approached, you see, they were sneaky. They approached Joseph and said,
Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now therefore, please forgive the crime of your servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And his brothers also wept and fell down before him and said, we are here as your slaves. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Hear this. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve the numerous people, as he is doing. You see, things happen in our lives that are hard, are difficult to understand. And that's why forgiveness is difficult. But Joseph's words speak to something that goes beyond this relationship. It's called God's providence. And we don't know the role of God's providence in our lives. You see, it took many years for Joseph to see the other side. Many years. And I know that you and I are desperate people. We can't handle, we can't wait many years. We can't forgive. It's hard. So this kingdom of God is about relationships. And we sometimes forget about God. And we forget to open ourselves to God's ways, to God's justice in those relationships. You remember the last verse? The same thing will happen to you if or unless you forgive from, maybe you remember, from your heart. Right? Sometimes, this is what happens. We'll say, yeah, no problem. Right? Okay, come on. Somebody agree with me. Right, no problem. But we really don't mean it. There's still a problem. There's still something inside. There's still pain. There's still hurt. There's still indignation. There's still anger. There's still that thing that happens in us. That's why he says, unless you forgive from your heart. Listen to his words, wicked slave. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? Do we understand God's mercy? Do we understand what God has done for us? And whether we deserved it or not. You see, that's when the story really takes on new meaning. Because we owe God. Big time. We owe God. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. And he has said to us, forget it. You're cool with me. It has been pardoned. You don't owe me a penny. Do you remember how it started? For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to. You see, it's part of the kingdom to understand that grace has been given to us because of that great debt that we had to God, which is unpayable. But we have been pardoned and set free from that debt.
What are we to do with our brother or sister's slaves when we live in the kingdom, knowing what the master has done with us? What are we to do? I would like for us to pray. But before that, I'd like to make allusion to our culture today. Our culture today is about respect, esteem, position, how we are accommodated in life. And we think that we are owed these things. But God demands mercy. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I know that this issue of forgiveness can go deep, way deep in our souls. Help us to understand what you have done for us. Help us to come to grips with that fair understanding of the grace and mercy that you have bestowed upon our lives, so that we can do the same. In Jesus' name, amen.